Happy Easter once again to everybody. My name is Jim, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the lead pastor here at Decided Church, and I just want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. I'm just curious, who here is at Decided Church for the first time? Will you raise your hand? Well, I'm going to put you to work in a second. I'm sorry. But if it's your first time with us, can I just ask, keep your hand uplifted, and Will, the other pastor here at Decided Church, he's going to get you a contact card. And if you don't mind filling that out as you have the time and opportunity, hopefully he'll give you a pin. If somebody wants to help him, that might be great. But just keep your hand up. We're not going to ask for your Social Security card or anything. But if you would to put your credit card number down, that's fine. We'll take those. We just don't want the social, but we'll take the credit. Once again, happy Easter. Like Will said, this is a special Sunday because not only are we celebrating Christ's resurrection, but we also get to celebrate a year in this building. It's our kind of our one-year anniversary, not of a church, because we've been a church for a little bit longer, but it's our one anniversary for this building. And man, what God has done in this place. So once again, welcome. We thank you for coming here. And to all the regulars, all the Decided Church sluggers out there, thank you for getting up early and being here. I know it could have been a little bit rough this morning, as we can all tell by Austin's hair. But it's okay. It's okay. When I think about Easter, Easter is one of those holidays that really gets me scratching my head. Because if you think about all the other major holidays like Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, we celebrate those holidays for like, well, I know Christmas is like 2 months. As soon as Halloween is over, you can go into any department store and they've got Christmas from wall to wall, ceiling to floor. It's just like Christmas everywhere. So Christmas, we celebrate that holiday like for 2 whole months. Halloween is, at least gets a month, right? Thanksgiving gets half of November. It shares with Christmas, kind of. Thanksgiving is like the ugly stepchild, I guess. I don't know. But and then we get to Easter, and it's like we literally spend half of a Sunday morning on Easter, and then it's gone. Bye. And we really don't stop to think about this question that I proposed to you this morning. What does Easter mean on Monday? You know, we're all here. We're already celebrating Easter today, so I don't want to talk about today. You already got that down. You're here. You're at church. You got here on time. You've done your Easter thing on Sunday. I want to talk about what Easter means on Monday. What does Easter mean on Tuesday? It brings 2 points to my mind, and I want to share them with you really quickly here today. What does Easter mean on Monday for Jim? Easter means that I have hope in a hopeless world. And secondly, Easter means to me on Monday, it means that I have real victory in a battle waged against me. So I have real hope and I have real victory because Easter happened. And it lasts so much longer than just the Sunday morning moment. It lasts on the Monday, on the Tuesday, on the Wednesday. And it holds significance over our lives for much more than just the holiday. In fact, for Easter, I propose to you, Easter is for the Christian, it's our biggest holiday. I think, I don't know how we're going to do this next year, Will, but I think we should just do Easter all April long. Just the whole month. I mean, if Christmas gets 2 months, don't you think Easter should at least get 1 month, like the whole month? We can just sing these songs, these Easter songs, over and over and over again. Nobody get sick and tired of them. Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus being raised from the dead, corruptible to incorruptible. So I want to talk a little bit about that really quick. What does Easter mean on Monday? I have real hope in a hopeless world. That's number one. See, for the Christian, we have all of our eggs in one basket. Nobody laughed. That was my Easter joke. Dang it. Will, you'll have to coach me on my jokes. But for the Christian, think about it. We all have all of our eggs in one basket. That one basket being the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. Did you ever stop to think about what significance does him dying on the cross have if he never rose? If Jesus simply died for our sin and was buried and that was the end of the story, then God has just pulled the biggest joke on humanity because he got all of us to bow down at the cross of Jesus and trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. But if he doesn't have power over that sin, if he doesn't have power over that death, if he doesn't have power over the grave, then it means that we're the biggest hypocrites. We're the biggest bunch of 60 or 50 people in the room. Like, we're the biggest hypocrites there are. What are we doing in church on Sunday if Christ did not raise? Because everything that we toil for, everything that we strive for as Christians, the relationships we form, the light we try to shine to the community, the fact that we're trying to be like Jesus more and more every day, all of that's based upon the fact that He is alive. So I want to show you a verse. It's the next slide, and it's found in 1 Timothy 4. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the what? Living God. It doesn't say because we have our hope set on the dead God. That wouldn't be much hope. That's the rest of the world. That's the hopelessness that we see every day. People that have completely been brainwashed by all these different religions, and you can name them, I can name them, but they all celebrate the fact that, yeah, they have a great leader, but for every one of those religions, you could find a grave for each one of those leaders. And guess where that leader is? Buddha is in the grave dead. Muhammad, he's in the grave dead. John Smith, he's in the grave dead. But we have our hopes. What gives us hope in a hopeless world? The fact that we have a promise that our God lives, a living hope. The next one also goes with it. John 11:25, Jesus is talking to a woman that he just healed. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. What gives me hope in a hopeless world? The fact that I have the promise of a living God. And secondly, that I have the promise that I too will live. Because Jesus rose, if we're found in him, if we have placed our faith in the substitution work of Christ on the cross for us, we believe that he died for me, that he shed his blood for my sin, he was buried and rose again the third day, that gives me the promise that I too will live. Because you know what's inevitable for all of us sitting here today? Is that there will come a day when we will die. Unless the rapture happens before that. But there's coming a day where we all die. But for the believer, if you're found in Christ, that's not the end. That's merely the beginning. For the believer, just like he tells this woman, I am the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in me, though you die, you will live again. That's the difference. See, that's the major thing that gives me hope in a hopeless world, is because Christ arose. Think of it this way. If Christianity were made out like a check to you with your name on it, and it could be for any amount that you want, $3 million, how much money you need to pay off your mortgage and to pay all your bills? I'll take $3 million. I'll take five or six or seven. But so Christianity is made out like a check, right? It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. But if we, Amber, will you come up here? I need your help, actually. So if I had a check for Amber, it was made out to her from Decided Church, and so I give her, I actually have it, a check to Amber, made out, open it, Amber, tell me how much it's for.
Don't lose the money. It's God's money.
$100.
$100. So we have a check made out to Amber for $100. If you went to the bank with that check, and you gave it to the teller, and she's like, oh, wow, this is great. She pulls up my account and everything. She looks at the church finances, and she's like, this is great, Miss Neighbors, but they don't have any money. There's nothing here. What good is the check to Amber? It's just a piece of paper, right? But if she goes to the bank, and they pull up my account, and dang, there's so much money there they don't know what to do with, then that check clears the bank because there's money to back it up. There's real money there. Thank you, Amber. That's yours. But for the Christian, the fact that Christ rose from the grave means that the check clears the bank. For Christianity, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because Christ rose, you can take your faith, you can take your relationship with Jesus to the bank, and it clears. The check clears because Christ rose. You see, the Buddhist check never cleared the bank because he's still in the grave. Confucius, the Hindus, all the religions that you can of the world that you can name out there, their check never cleared the bank because their leader, their Messiah, is still in the grave. But for us as believers, for us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope in a hopeless world because of the promise that our God lives, because of the promise that we too one day will live. Secondly, what does Easter mean on Monday? It means that I have real victory in a battle waged against me. I have real victory. And this is what I was talking about earlier. It's not really Sunday that we should really be focusing on Easter. We should, don't get me wrong. But what about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday when we get back into the daily grind? What happens on Monday when you get up and you're faced with these sins and you're faced with these temptations? You know, Satan would love nothing more than for you as a believer in Jesus Christ to live a defeated life because you're faced with so much temptation and so much sin, so many trials, you're burdened down with the weight of this life that it's almost as if you're living as though Jesus were still in the grave. Some of us are walking around here like zombie Christians, like the walking dead, because we're living our lives, we're so defeated, we've got this gray cloud over us, we're carrying this heavy burden of sin and temptation and the daily struggles of life. And it might as well be that Jesus is dead in the grave, because that's the way we live. That's the vibe that we put off to everybody. But I'm here to tell somebody today that it's not just Easter Sunday that Easter lasts. Easter lasts much longer than that. Easter gives us real victory in a battle waged against. Let's look at the next verse here. Romans 6:9-11. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die what? Again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must, what's the next word? Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I love this passage. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. That's kind of heavy theology, but what it means for your everyday life is that you can get up on Monday and you can have real victory no matter what happens because Jesus arose. You can get up on Tuesday and you can have real victory, Will, no matter what happens because Jesus arose. You can get up on Thursday and you can have real victory no matter what happens because Jesus arose. Can we get an amen for that? That's real victory in a battle waged against us. The fact that Jesus rose, we too have that victory. The next one is even more awesome. This was read to us earlier by Anna. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Some of us, I'm going to be on the screen, but I'm sorry, I don't care. Some of us live our Christian life and we stop at this period. Oh, death, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. We're so burdened down with the death. We're so burdened down with the sin. We're so burdened down with the law that we're trying to live up to that will never happen. But I urge you to go beyond the period. But thanks be to God who gives who the victory? He gives us the victory. He didn't give sin the victory over you. He didn't give death the victory over you. He didn't give the grave victory over you. He gave you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we can live our life steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Because Jesus has cleared out the path. He's cleared it out of the way. We don't have to face that. We have to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. We can go forward in our life victoriously because Jesus arose. Because Jesus arose. And that's what Easter means on Monday. Two simple points. I have real hope in a hopeless world. I have real victory in a battle waged against me. So whether or not this service is just a twice a year thing for you, maybe Easter and Christmas, Eve, Mother's Day, don't let the significance of this moment last only the moment. Easter is huge. Easter is everything. Easter is bigger than your chocolate collection that you're about to go get, maybe. It's bigger than your table spread at lunch this afternoon. Easter is the celebration of our hope and victory, not just today, but even more so on Monday. More so on Monday. Because that's when the real hopelessness starts. The routines and the schedules will drag you back down on Monday when you're in the boardroom meeting with an upset boss, when you're running late to class and you've forgotten an assignment, when your car runs hot and your past due notice is in the mailbox, when you're faced with that temptation one more time. By then, surely you've already forgotten what in the world happened on Sunday. But no, not for you. Not for me, not for Christians. For you and I, Easter happened. And that changes everything. The two things that for me, Easter means on Monday, I have real hope. Say it with me, I have real hope. You say it. I have real victory. You say it.
I have real
victory. Amen. That's what Easter means on Monday. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that because you live, we too will live. We thank you that that gives us such hope and such victory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I pray here in this quiet moment, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, if they've never come to the cross, they've never seen the sacrifice, or maybe they have, but they've never accepted it personally for themselves. The fact that Jesus died for them. Jesus was buried in the tomb, but 3 days later he arose triumphant. If that's you, did you know that April 5th, 2015 could be your day for a brand new life? It could be your day for a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. If God is calling you now, if this is the moment for you, don't let it pass by. Don't let the significance of this moment fade. If that's you and he's calling you to himself, if Easter Sunday could be your day for salvation, it could be your day to receive the free gift of eternal life. Just say something like this in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to say a special prayer. But if you just say these words and you mean them in your heart, God will save you. And I can say that based upon the assurance that God's word is true. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And my sin has separated me from you. But I believe that he died for me, was buried, and rose again the third day. I receive the free gift of salvation. Thank you, God, for coming into my life and making me brand new. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and received Jesus into your life, we'd love to celebrate with you. I would love to pray for you. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand quietly wherever you sit? I'll see. No one else will. But if you'll just, by uplifted hand, indicate that you received Jesus for the first time, I'd love to pray for you. Is there anyone here like that today on Easter Sunday? Amen. Thank you. God, I pray that for the majority of us who know you as our Savior, that we can not only celebrate this today, but it could shape our future. That we could actually live like you are risen. That we could actually live and display this hope. That we could live and display this victory that we have. I pray that this world would take note of the believers who left from Decided Church on Sunday, April 5th, 2015, and say there's something different about them. It's like they had an encounter with Jesus. It's like their life got turned upside down. God, I pray that would happen to me. I pray that it would happen to all of us here. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come down in a manifest way and clothe us in that hope and that victory that is truly ours because you rose. Thank you, God, for this day. I pray that we would go from here with peace and safety wherever our families are. And I thank you for bringing everyone here out to Decided Church. I pray that they feel welcome and loved and encouraged to come back again soon. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, let's stand and we'll sing our closing song.